To you in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Annunciation, the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary to announce that she would bear the Christ child, is one of the most pictured scenes from Scripture in all of art history. It's an image from sacred story that has captured the imaginations of artists across the ages. If you do a simple Google Images search, thousands of images of the Annunciation will come onto your computer screen. In some of the images, the angel looms over Mary. In some of the images, his arm is outstretched and pointing at her. In some of the images, she seems swallowed up in the angel's light. In most of the images, however, the angel is pictured on bended knee, in front of Mary with his arms outstretched. It looks like a proposal. It looks like a courtship. It looks like the angel is making an invitation. In some of the art, it looks like the angel is pleading with her. This angel on bended knee, it's how the masters have captured this image. Da Vinci, Botticelli, Fra Angelico, there are so many images that capture this angel pleading with Mary. It suggests that Mary has tremendous power, power to say yes and power to say no. But it's an ambiguous story. Just like the artist, it could go either way. And perhaps this year, I hear the ambiguity even more. This year of Trump's presidency, this year of scandal in Hollywood and in politics, this year in which survivors of abuse and of harassment have brought the truth that they always knew to be true to the public consciousness. So I hear that ambiguity even more. Does Mary get to give her own consent? If we only had this story of Mary, I think I'd go the first way, that maybe she's overpowered. You could hear that in today's text. The power from on high will make these things true. But you could also hear the words, "Let it be with me according to your word." Could go either way. I think, however, I land on the side that Mary gives her consent because we have other stories of Mary. We don't have just this story, but there are other things we know to be true about Mary. The first is really what she doesn't do. She doesn't go to any man and ask for his approval. She doesn't ask her father or her brother or her betrothed, "Can I do this?" She says yes for herself. After this visit with the angel, Mary goes out on a journey. She travels. It's reminiscent of the prophets who went on journeys before her. She goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, and in the home of Zechariah, the high priest, Mary speaks the words of the Magnificat, a revolutionary testament where the mighty will be thrown down and the lowly shall be lifted up. Spoken in the home of the high priest, it's a political manifesto. Mary seems to say yes over and over again. She travels to Bethlehem. She travels to Egypt. Later on in Jesus' life, they make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. early in Jesus' ministry, she's in the crowds who think that Jesus is possessed, and they want to throw him off a cliff, and she pleads with him and says, "Would you stop this? You know, they're going to throw you off a cliff." Mary travels to Jerusalem, and on a dark Friday stands at the foot of a cross. Mary's actions seem to show her choosing to be an active agent in the history of salvation. What is she saying yes to? What does she agree to take on? The most immediate thing she's consenting to is a pregnancy that's probably going to be perceived as scandal. It's a dangerous thing to agree to. She's not married. She could be killed for this behavior. That aside, she agrees to be pregnant. And in the ancient world, again, a dangerous proposition. I had my first child in January of 2008. I had more education than most of my peers. I delivered my child in one of the premier hospitals in this nation. I had access to more resources than most of human history has ever known. And I was still completely terrified. I can't imagine saying yes in the ancient world, knowing what pregnancy and childbirth entailed. She might not have known this in the beginning. I'm not sure I did either when I became a mother. But when you bear a child, it takes great courage because you pour your love into another person. It's a fierce kind of love. It's a kind of love that can make you afraid. Have you ever loved someone so much that it made you afraid? The love we have for children, for parents, for partners, sometimes even for our work or for a cause, when we pour our great love into something else, it makes us so terribly vulnerable. A little piece of your heart walks around on the outside. When they put my babies on my chest, I didn't know in that moment the degree and the power to which those children could break my heart. It's a love that can make you afraid. We know this to be true of Mary. On that dark day at the foot of the cross, this is a love that knows joy, but also pain, and sorrow, and fear. It takes a tremendous amount of courage for Mary to say yes. Leaves me wondering, where does she find that courage? Where does she find that faith, that strength of conviction to walk down this path and to choose that path over and over again? I suspect it comes from the first part of the interchange with the angel. Greetings, favored one. She is told that God has noticed her. God sees her. She has found favor with God. She is important in the sight of God. And she is blessed. Mary had no reason whatsoever to think that she was important in the sight of God. And yet she is told that she is, and she seems to believe it, to enter into a firm sense of conviction that God has seen her, that God notices her, that God calls her to great work, and that she is blessed. I think that's where she finds her great courage, her sense of conviction. I wonder, too, if for you and for me, if we really knew that God sees us, if we really knew that God noticed us and considered us important, if we really knew that God saw us as blessed, what might we do? What part might we play in the course of salvation history? I think if we really knew, we could move mountains. I know that to be true because in this place, in the times when you have really known that you are noticed by God and considered important and blessed in the sight of God, you have moved mountains. I hope on this day that this sense of knowing that God sees us, cares for us, considers us blessed, and considers us worthy of a part in salvation history, I hope that is in your heart this day. For this and for all of God's mercies, thanks be to God.